Good morning. It's 9.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. Well, the gay rights movement reaches a milestone tonight when its agenda is the subject of a televised Democratic presidential forum. Yet many activists craving bolder support for same-sex couples view the unprecedented event with mixed emotions. The forum, to be held in Los Angeles, is co-sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign, a gay rights group that has become increasingly influential in Democratic politics, and by Logo, the gay-oriented cable channel that will provide a live telecast and an internet simulcast. Every Democratic candidate except Joe Biden and Chris Dodd plans to participate. Logo is available in about 27 million homes across the country. They offered to hold a second forum for Republican candidates, but the GOP frontrunners, less supportive of gay rights initiatives than the Democrats, showed no interest, according to Logo. Well, we're going to talk about this issue, how the presidential candidates are handling the gay rights question this hour on the Ideas Network, and you are invited to join our discussion. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number. You can call from anywhere. 800-642-1234. If you are in Madison, we'd prefer that you use our local number, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. As always, we welcome your comments and questions for our guest. And the guest this hour is Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. Good morning, Professor Riley.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
This is a first. It's the first time that there's been a presidential forum that is based completely on the issue of gay rights. What do you make of that?
Well, it is the first time. It's not the first time presidential candidates have spoken to the issue, certainly, but it's the first time that the forum has been sponsored, and the whole business of the visibility of the activity is going to be very different. And they're all going to be there, and they're all going to be forced to talk about the same kinds of questions. So, it's a milestone of sorts, sure.
An interesting format. As I was looking at this, all of the candidates will appear alone. They won't be on the stage with any other candidate. They'll each have about 15 minutes, and so it's not really a debate. It's more of a, I don't know what you would call it, a serial speech making.
Yeah, sort of a serial question and answer session. But if you've been watching the various debates that have been going on, there's not much debating. There's some occasional, needling of one another or trying to stake out a position somewhat different. That's getting more and more to be the case as Hillary is more and more the target. But still, those haven't been debates in the sense that they actually talk about the same things. They give stock answers to stock questions.
Yeah, they're all very well prepared, and no matter what the question is, they answer the question they want.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been a standard political technique for decades. And so you don't really get a debate. You get sound bites packaged as a debate.
I watched
a portion of debate. I think this was last night or the night before. Keith Olbermann moderated a candidate forum, and that was a fairly lively affair. I'm thinking that this debate tonight will be watched by a lot of people who may not be that interested in the issue, but are curious to see how the various politicians are going to frame their response to calls for more support of gay marriage and things like that.
Well, I think that's probably true. I don't know how widespread it will be. Outside interest. I mean, interest of the general population, not interested in the issue. But there's people interested in these questions from opposite poles. The gay community certainly has a great deal of interest, but numerous conservatives, particularly of the Christian right, whenever you begin to start getting anywhere near the question of gay marriage, consider themselves to have a real stake, and they want to be heard. So I imagine there will be representatives of that community watching this like a hawk and planning to make something out of it.
Meanwhile, you have on the Republican side, Rudy Giuliani pretty much staking out a different position on this issue from pretty much any other Republican candidate, and telling the Republican Party that they need to be more tolerant of dissenting views on issues like gay rights if they want to retain the White House. Is Rudy Giuliani the Nelson Rockefeller of the 2000s?
Well, I don't think I'd characterize him quite that far, but yeah, he's certainly, that's a different position. But given what he did as mayor of New York in signing off on benefits for domestic partners, in saying that he thought civil unions were a perfectly okay idea and didn't see any reason why people should be so upset about stopping them, that he can't really backtrack as much as all that. I mean, Mitt Romney has appeared to backtrack on a number of things, but there's only so far you can dance backward. So he's just decided that he's going to go ahead and say that stuff up front. He still, I don't think, is supportive of the notion of gay marriage as such. That is the ceremony and the status of marriage. But civil unions, Vermont style, I think, is probably about as far as he's willing to go.
We're at weather time, so we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll see who else wants to join the conversation. Here's how it works. You pick up the phone and call us at 800-642-1234 or 263-1890, and you get on the air and you can ask our guest a question or bring up a topic or bring up a comment that is related to our topic and share it with everybody else. We have a line available for you if you call right now. Again, it's 800-642-1234, 263-1890. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's almost 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning, the 9th day of August. Here's what's coming up a little bit later on Wisconsin Public Radio. After 3 on Here on Earth, they explore woofing around the world, where volunteers are given room, board, and the opportunity to work and learn on organic farms. That's after 3 today, Here on Earth with Gene Faraca. This hour we're talking about the issue of gay rights and the presidential campaign, and the genesis for this discussion, of course, the announcement that there would be a Democratic forum, presidential forum, on the gay-oriented cable television network logo. That's going to take place tonight out in Los Angeles. And candidates will each have 15 minutes to answer some questions on issues like gay marriage, don't ask, don't tell, and some other things. And each of the candidates will get to stake out their position and try and differentiate themselves both from each other and from a would-be Republican nominee as well, although those positions are pretty well staked out. I don't know that we would expect any surprises. This is going to be kind of ticklish for the Democrats because, on the one hand, they don't want to anger a significant constituency, and on the other hand, they have to keep in mind that I think pretty much every ballot initiative on gay marriage has suggested that people aren't in favor of it. So the Democrats have to be pretty careful. Well, what do you think? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Toll free to reach us from anywhere you can hear this broadcast. 263-1890, please, if you are in Madison. My guest this hour is Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. And Professor Riley, we have a caller waiting to join us. Let's welcome Vic from Milwaukee.
Hi there.
Good morning.
My question bodes to the recent change in status in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Common Council recently passed a resolution or an ordinance that prohibits discrimination not only of veterans but also of people with gender identity issues and gender expression issues. Why is the state lagging so hard on this? And I'll take my answers off the air.
Well, excuse me, the state it was put to the people about gay marriage, and it was pretty clear what they said. So why is the state lagging? Because a lot of the people in the state organized and want to keep it that way.
Yeah, the referendum wasn't really even close.
No, it wasn't close.
So, that tells you something. On the other hand, The Democrats have some things to deal with here. What the Hillary Clinton has already taken a stand that's different from the one that her husband had when he was the president on two different policies: the "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" approach to gays in the military, and a provision in the Defense of Marriage Act, which could prevent the federal government from offering equal benefits to same-sex couples. So, I mean, we are seeing some changes in where people are on this issue and what they're willing to say publicly, but there are still some significant risks for getting too far ahead of the opinion polls on this issue, aren't there?
Right. Well, there's any question about that. Now, you know, just to clarify a little bit, "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" wasn't Bill Clinton's idea. It was shoved down his throat by the United States Congress. His original executive order was to do what gays would like to do, which is to wipe out discrimination in the military. And he was told in no uncertain terms by both the military and the Congress that that wasn't going to fly. So "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" was his desperate way out, and he was never really that excited about it. But he was forced to defend it because it did come out on his watch, and he did sign on to it. So it's not as complete a reversal as all that. It's actually the position that Al Gore took in 2000, was to get rid of "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" in favor of the original executive order, and to make some changes in the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. But Al Gore didn't get elected, so those things didn't happen. The Democrats have been moving in these directions for quite a long time, really, as a political party. So it's not so surprising that leading candidates are taking those positions now.
Let's welcome another caller in. This time we'll go to Ben in Duluth. Ben, good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, it'd be interesting to see how the candidates handle the word gay marriage in my eyes. And a lot of times it might be a little more appropriate to call it a civil union rather than, you know, just coming out and saying gay marriage, just because, I don't know. To me, just the term gay marriage doesn't sound, it sounds kind of blunt. But, you know, I've known people that have lived together for years and, you know, been like roommates, you know, basically, and have put their incomes together and try to help each other out through their lives. And when there's death, when one of them dies, you know, the other one doesn't gain the death benefits that people that are married might. And it just doesn't seem fair to me, you know. I don't know. I guess that's my comment. I'll take the answer off the air. Thanks.
Thanks, Ben. Well, there is a difference between marriage and civil union, isn't there?
Oh, there definitely is, because marriage has all the emotional trappings and all of the other things that go along with it. And the state, the government, the state in this case, it's always done at state level, does in fact issue something called a marriage license. And it's called a marriage license rather than a civil union license. And so most of us get that. The ceremony is often performed by a clergyman in a church setting, but doesn't have to be. It can be done by a judge. But a judge can't marry a gay couple, even in a civil union state. They get a different piece of paper with maybe different status. It's hard to say. Certainly different status in terms of society's response to it. Society doesn't see a civil union in the same way that it sees a marriage. And that's why that's the opening for Democratic candidates at the moment. We're not really saying people are getting married. We're just saying they should have all of the legal rights that go along with being a married couple in terms of hospital visitations and inheritance and, you know, all this wide range of things that people point out. And that's what civil union is for. It's to stay away from the emotion-laden term marriage, which does scare a lot of people. I mean, I don't think Ben's the only person that finds the term gay marriage sort of in his face, and maybe civil union is a much gentler sort of notion.
Well, when the minister stands in front of the church and pronounces the marriage, his authority for that is coming from the state, or her authority is coming from the state, not from God, in terms of the legal contract, the legal aspects of marriage as a matter of civil law.
Absolutely, and you know, it's a very ambiguous thing in the sense that the religious part of the ceremony and the state sanction of this couple get pretty mixed up together in terms of the way people are responding in the church at the time, and the words chosen by a priest or a rabbi or a minister. I mean, it's really a mixed social thing that has so many dimensions to it, and some people, I think, that's what they think of when folks get married. It's all one big thing. It's all one religious celebration, civil activity, etc. And so gay marriage scares them because of some of those implications. Some people are not as frightened by the notion of civil unions.
Let's take a call from Sean in Indigo. Sean, thanks for calling us this morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Talking just about exactly what you're going on, do you think there's any chance that in this forum that any of the candidates could bring up the notion of really doing away with marriage itself as the legal contract that provides the benefits, and in its place, doing civil unions is what gets you the benefits, the legal protection, the insurance, all that, and marriage could remain something that's done in your church if you're somebody who believes in marriage as a union between, you know, a man and a woman in the eyes of God. Leave that to the church and have all the legal protections and benefits coming from the civil union that could be between man and a woman, or man and a man, woman and woman, etc.
Thanks for the call. Response, Professor Riley?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to have the, I don't necessarily say courage, but I mean, I don't know that anyone is going to be willing to step out that far on a limb tonight. But ultimately, that might be the logical resolution, that we just say, okay, what churches do and how churches decide who gets to be, quote, married, unquote, is up to a church. There is a separation of church and state, supposedly anyway, that would protect the church if it wishes to say, no, we won't do that. On the other hand, we don't want the state in that same business of deciding, so the state's going to simply issue licenses, which will convey legal status and legal rights on any pair of people that wish to seek them and qualify, and the states still have qualifications. You can't have been divorced within the past 6 months, and so on. The state still has some right to restrict, but it can't restrict based on the gender of the couples, and let it go at that. And that might be the ultimate and logical solution. But we have so much emotional investment in the notion of marriage that, I don't know, it's that idea is going to take some time to root in, even though I think it may be where society needs to go.
Well, so far, the only two candidates, Dennis Kucinich and former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel, have endorsed nationwide recognition of same-sex marriage, which polls show a majority of Americans oppose, but those are candidates with nothing much to lose. We're going to continue our discussion of this topic after we check the news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio News, and we'll take more of your calls. There's an open line for you if you'd like to get in, 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. You can send us an email, talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 7:35. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. Well, tonight, the Democratic presidential candidates will participate in a forum with gay rights activists. In this hour, we're taking a look at how their stances on gay issues may shape the race and what response, if any, there will be from the Republicans. And our guest, who's helping us to work through some of these issues, is Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. We have some callers waiting to join us, and before we go back to them, let me give you the phone numbers one more time, because there is still an open line. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. And if you're phone shy, send us an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. Let's welcome Bernie from Whitewater. Bernie, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. You're welcome. I'm trying to decide whether to vote for Dennis Kucinich or Mike Gravel, and I know both of these gentlemen. I'll vote for one of them in the Democratic primary, and I know both of them are in favor of same-sex marriage. I am not. I voted for the Republican definition of marriage amendment, and I believe that this issue is one that is a big mistake for Democrats to be making a big deal of. I think the Democratic Party, unfortunately, puts more of a litmus test on things like same-sex marriage than say, what you feel about our military policy in Iraq. And I guess I feel that a minority of people that are calling this, you know, kind of a civil rights issue, which I don't see at all. I don't think it's at all akin to civil rights. Are basically blowing this thing way out of proportion. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of pandering and a lot of belief, really, that this is something that should be front and center. And I believe it's just getting way more attention than it should.
Let me ask you this. You voted in favor of the referendum on same-sex marriage that passed in Wisconsin that banned the practice, and yet you are trying to decide between Dennis Kucinich and former Senator Mike Gravel in terms of who you're going to vote for in the primary. There's a disconnect there. I'm not quite getting that.
Well, I believe in single-payer national health. I believe in a non-militaristic foreign policy. I believe in getting out of NAFTA and the WTO. I believe in money out of elections. So I think there are a lot of positives in these people. I mean, I've given money to Kucinich. I voted for Nader. But I just want to say there are people out there who are generally voting for progressives who don't believe in this so-called gay rights agenda.
Interesting. Professor Riley?
Yeah, well, obviously there are. And there's more than just a handful. I mean, there are people who just don't want to go that far. Some of the Democratic candidates, I suspect, tonight will try to steer the discussion away from marriage and toward job discrimination, housing discrimination, a wide range of civil rights issues that we all recognize pretty clearly as civil rights issues, because that's the American public is supportive of changes in civil rights law to reflect a gender preference, if that's what you want to call it, especially in terms of jobs, but also in terms of some other things. But when it comes to marriage, again, bam, all of a sudden there's a wall, and to make the question of gay rights strictly about the question of getting married is, as Bernie just suggested, that's going to lose some people, that's going to put some people off. If you put it on that, if you put it on some other issues, it might not. So that gets to be an interesting question. But the debate tonight is going to be with a gay rights forum, and there's going to be no complete escape from the marriage issue. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of the candidates would just as soon go back to talking some more about Iraq, talking some more about health care and what they plan to do about that. They'd like to talk about those more general kinds of questions where they feel that they have a real advantage over the Republican Party. But in that forum, they're going to have to speak at least part of the time to those other issues, to the gay rights agenda issues.
Let's take a call from Mark in Eau Claire. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this. Much of the opinion or the votes that were done, especially in the gay rights marriage here in the state, I think had a lot to do with how it was worded. It was very, very carefully crafted. And some of the discussion this morning that I'm hearing on saying, well, what about civil unions? If that vote would have been worded differently, the amount or the vote would have gone differently, at least in percentage. So I think the candidates tonight are in a place of saying, wait a minute, how am I going to look at this? And that's why Kucinich has come out very clearly. Like you said, he doesn't have a whole lot to lose, but Barack Obama and the others may.
It doesn't sound like this is an issue that's going to gain you a lot of votes, but it has the potential to be damaging to your campaign if you don't handle it properly.
Well, I think that's clearly true, because it has potential in every direction. It has the potential to energize the so-called Christian right, or probably does. It has the potential to energize or depress the activity of the gay community, and at this point, I mean, that's kind of a funky phrase, but a lot of people, gay and lesbian Americans with some money and some political savvy, who are deeply involved in the political process, the Democrats simply can't afford to turn them off. The campaign money, the votes, the energy, they can't afford to turn them off, but they can't afford to turn on segments of the Christian right over the so-called gay rights agenda. So they really, this is really a dance that has to be done, and it's more of a dance for them. I think a Republican candidate can probably speak exclusively about gay marriage and never raise any of these civil rights questions and satisfy his constituency, leaving, you know, not worrying about what happens in the gay community, because the gay community is not terribly supportive of the Republican Party at this point as well. And both sides, I mean, certainly the Democrats want this election fought out over a different set of issues.
Well, yeah, I, you know, that's obvious. What about the log cabin Republicans?
I think we're getting to the point where they would fit in a log cabin. They still exist. There's no question that there's still an active gay community in the Republican Party. But it's a lot smaller than it was, and it's a lot less visible than it was, say, a decade ago. And it's really, there are an awful lot of gay Republican staffers, you know, on Capitol Hill and in the executive branch who are not particularly open about their sexual preference. That is, they're not closeted circa the 1950s, but they don't say much about that, and they don't raise those kinds of questions in Republican circles. So the log cabin Republicans have really lost a lot of influence.
The phone numbers to call, and we do have an open line for you right now, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, the number to call. It's a toll-free number, 263-1890 if you're in Madison. Let's take a call from Louise next in Hillsboro.
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting forum tonight, and I'd like to see some of the candidates show the same courage that Kucinich did to recognize this as an equal rights issue. Everyone likes to talk about it as an agenda or a sexual preference issue, but I would really like to see a candidate that has some courage. I think that there are quite a few more gay and lesbian voters out there than they think there are, and I think that they would... I think there's a real possibility that they could benefit. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We're just about at weather time. Let me give the phone numbers again, and we'll take a short break to catch you up on what's happening weather-wise around the state of Wisconsin, whether it's going to be dry or whether you can expect some flooding or whatever it is. We'll give you the inside scoop. It's 800-642-1234, toll-free to join our discussion this hour, 263-1890 if you're in Madison. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org and participate that way. We're talking about the how the Democratic presidential candidates are going to handle the gay rights issue when they participate in a gay rights forum in Los Angeles tonight. That'll be televised on the cable channel Logo, and I believe there's an internet simulcast for that as well. So it should just be interesting to see how they do their dance around this kind of ticklish issue. We'll be back to talk more with our guest and with you right after this. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is under congressional investigation for perjury and abuse of power. After 9, Jim Packard's guest historian argues that Gonzalez is not the first attorney general to find himself in trouble. Jim Packard in for Kathleen Dunn this week here on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Everybody's on vacation. Well, I'm not. This hour, we're talking about the Democratic presidential candidates' participation in a forum with gay rights activists that will be carried on the Logo television network, which is a cable channel available in about 27 million homes across the United States, and speculating on how the candidates will handle the issue, what they might say, what they will try to avoid saying, and how this might work down the line. We have callers who are waiting to join us. We'll get back to the phones in just a moment. I want to give the phone numbers one more time before we do that, though. 800-642-1234, 1234. It's a toll-free number, 263-1890 if you are in Madison. Let's go to George in Milwaukee next. George, you're up. Good morning.
Good morning. The way the Democrats can win in this issue is by saying they're in favor of civil unions, which give gay people all the legal rights that married people have, and they avoid the minefield of religion and having religion bless this particular act. There will be people who will say, well, if it walks like a duck, it is a duck. But that most of those people are going to be voting Republican anyway. By framing the issue in terms of giving people what their rights should be equally across the board, you will gain a majority of support among the electorate.
Professor Riley?
Yeah, well, I'm not entirely sure I accept that, but I think certainly that's the position that gives the Democrats the safest route, in the sense that it's not exactly what a good bit of the gay community wants, but it's at least moving in the right direction, and it won't be as offensive outside to others, that is to say, to the heterosexual community or so on. I mean, so I suppose it's a logical way to dance. I don't know that it will win them a majority on the issue. And, of course, Wisconsin would be in a very difficult position because the referendum that we passed last year would seem to prevent civil unions as well, because it does say pretty clearly that you can't create anything that, you know, whatever it is equivalent to or substantially equivalent to. I forget the language. But I don't know that Wisconsin could move in that direction without amending the Constitution a second time. So that could get very interesting. And there are other states who've done exactly the same thing. Now, it's true that a lot of those states are going to vote Republican anyway. Let's not worry too terribly much about it from a Democratic perspective. But I think this is going to be a little bit harder sell than George thinks, but certainly it's a place where I would expect most of the Democratic candidates to go tonight.
Well, you mentioned this earlier. This isn't an issue the Democrats want to run on. I mean, they don't want to make this the centerpiece of the campaign. They want to run on the unpopularity of the war in Iraq and some other things that play better to larger audiences. This is just one segment of the voting public, and a smaller one at that. They want to run on other things.
Oh, absolutely. And I think probably sometime someone tonight will remind the television audience, and we'll even remind the folks in the room, that gay men and women in the United States are not defined exclusively by the fact that they're gay, nor interested exclusively in the fact that they're gay. They want the war to end. They want universal health care, some of them, and some of them don't. I mean, they have so many positions that are outside of that area, and I think somebody's going to try to remind everybody that these are crucial questions, but we don't think that you are only interested in those questions, and see what happens.
And on the other side, Rudy Giuliani is really carrying a somewhat similar message to the Republican Party, a little bit broader, saying that, hey, this election can't be about social issues. We have to talk about the things that really play well with a larger audience, such as security and safety and law enforcement and some of those traditional Republican issues. Of course, he's trying to minimize his exposure on some of these social issues where he's a bit to the left of where most of the Republican Party is, but essentially it's the same message. There are bigger issues here than these.
Exactly. And he's trying to pick the ones that he thinks, you know, give him a decent shot, and security, and particularly, you know, national security, terrorism, strength, you know, all those kinds of things. That's what he believes is the best chance the Republican Party has to win the election. And if you noticed the other morning, last Sunday, the last time the Republicans were on collectively, there was nobody saying that, you know, the war in Iraq has to end by the end of 2008. They were saying the Democrats are saying that, and the Democrats are wrong. So they were really not necessarily hanging in with George Bush. They didn't say, you know, we should follow the commander-in-chief, only that we need to give the strategy longer, et cetera, et cetera. So they were trying to stake that territory out, all of them. But Rudy Giuliani really needs it, you're right, because he's got nothing to fall back on with the Republican base other than that.
Let's take a call from Ron in Madison. Ron, good morning. Oops, we lost Ron. Okay, let's go to Kevin in Duluth. Kevin, thanks for calling.
Hi. I think that there are far more important issues that that people need to be involved in. I hope politicians have the wisdom to stay away from this issue. I really do. I think that our culture is not ready to grapple with this. This issue is far too divisive, and there are far more important issues that we really need to deal with. And this is gonna derail some campaigns if they take it on too much. We need to talk about issues like global warming, this crazy war, an inequitable economy, healthcare, and any legion of other issues. This is a small one and needs to be sorted out, first by our culture.
Well, I don't think that our guests would disagree with that. Would you, Professor Riley?
Well, not too directly, but there's always, whenever you make that case, there's always the echo of the civil rights era of the 1950s when I was growing up, that, blacks will just have to wait for the culture to change, and it will, and just, relax, and there are so many other big things we need to worry about. When you're on the other side, you don't necessarily feel that way. As a political matter for the Democrats, I don't think they would mind running on Kevin's platform at all. But I don't know that they feel they can without ignore this question, this issue. They'll have to accommodate to it in some way or another. It's too big a constituency. And for many of them, it really is a matter of the rights of human beings to live their lives equal with other human beings with the same status. And for a lot of Democrats, that's a pretty important thing.
Well, it's kind of we've mentioned this before a little bit, but it's sort of a no-win scenario. It's kind of a wedge issue for the Republicans to use to motivate their base, and it's tough for the Democrats to find a way to really get a big win out of this. So it'll be real interesting to see how they handle it tonight.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Let's go next to Carl in Shorewood. Carl, thanks for calling us.
Good morning. For me, I think that the growth of the civil rights of the gay and lesbian movement since the 60s, when people started coming out, has gained a lot of strength. And I think that the forum tonight gives the country a chance to see people dealing openly and directly with an important social issue. And I don't think that the gay and lesbian population is going to retreat and go back into the closet. I think it's here, it's present, and there's a lot of ambivalence about the issue on the parts of some people, but it's part of the fabric of our culture, and we're going to have to face it and deal with it, I think. And better to deal with it than to try and deny it and tell people to, don't ask, don't tell, or something equivalent to that.
Carl, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Well, every Democratic candidate except Joe Biden and Chris Dodd plan to participate. Why do you suppose they're deciding to skip this, Professor Riley?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about why or what they've said as their explanations. I suppose they'll use the scheduling conflicts or something
else. Maybe they didn't have enough money in their campaign coffers to buy the plane ticket.
Well, for either of those guys, it could be getting down to that point or getting pretty close to that point. But I don't really quite understand it. I don't think either guy is particularly opposed to the notions, at least in the civil rights area. Maybe gay marriage, but in the civil rights area, I don't think they're so opposed to it. And it is a very questionable decision to stay away when you are a second-tier candidate like they are. The money, the support, I don't know. I just find it an odd choice.
It's a chance to go on television and tell people what you think. I don't know why you'd skip that.
Yeah, I don't either, unless they're just afraid that some of what they think is not going to go down with that audience and they'll look bad, or something. I don't really know, but it's just an interesting choice on their parts.
We've got about 30 seconds left here. Just quickly, who has the most to gain or lose tonight in this debate?
Oh, I think we're in exactly the same position we're always in. There's the three top-tier candidates. They have something to lose and maybe something to gain. Hillary Clinton gets more money from the gay community than Barack Obama or John Edwards, but only, well, it's about 40-some percent to 30-some to down in the teens for John Edwards in terms of support, at least according to a study I read yesterday. So we'll have to see. If somebody really stumbles, but they're not going to stumble. They know what they need to say. The problem is what happens in the broader community if somebody goes too far. And our callers today suggest that it's hard to read that broader community.
Well, thank you a lot for joining us this morning.
Thanks, John.
Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. Leo Duran produced this program. Karen Prager handled on-air production. I'm John Munson.